This is the day that the Lord has made. Lord, direct our thoughts, help us to pray, and lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Spirit of God fills the whole world. The processional hymn, 40 days and 40 nights. Welcome, everybody, to this family service. This is the first Sunday of the penitential season of Lent. And it is also the Sunday that we are particularly focusing on the work of the Church Missionary Society. And to help us do that, I am delighted to welcome back the Reverend Roger Thompson, who will be ministering the word to us later. But firstly, we, in a spirit of penitence, acknowledge our failures to serve God as He would have us serve. To seek His forgiveness as we commit to strive to do better in the future. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us kneel and confess our sins to God our Father. O God, our loving Father in heaven, we confess that we have sinned against you. We have broken your commandments. We have often been selfish, and we have not loved you as we should. For these and all our sins, forgive us, we pray, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I declare to you, you are forgiven, your sins are gone. Be strong in the Holy Spirit and live for God. Let us praise God for his mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit, and as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light.
Please do be seated. I'm inviting the choir to come and join us so they can also see the pictures I brought along today. Thank you so much, Robert, for your invitation to come back. I seem to remember I was here sometime around this time last year. And also speaking on behalf of the Church Mission Society about Nepal, I think, because at that time this parish had began a new mission link with Nepal. So thank you so much for all your support, for your prayers, and for your interest and your finances as well, which makes such a difference. I just passed over to Robert a little summary of the last 3 years, and you gave in the region of £6,000 since 2021. For the work of God's mission globally. So thank you so much. 2,000 of that has gone directly to a particular church in Nepal, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But first of all, if there were any kids here this morning, I would have got out my inflatable globe here. But seeing as there's no children, you'll have to be young at heart this morning. This is our logo. If you were here last year, I probably spoke about it then as well. And I love the logo because it shows the cross of Christ embracing the world, which kind of represents the love God has for the entire globe. He's a global God, isn't he? He's not just a God of Annahilt or Machrahamlet or Doak, where I come from near Ballyclare. He's a global God, and his love extends throughout the world. And this lady here, Bijata Adhikari, has taken over the leadership of a church in Kathmandu called the Sunda Doka Church. And this time last year, I was probably sharing with you about her husband, Bikash, who is a really charismatic and dynamic leader, full of enthusiasm for God and for community work, but at this time last year, sadly, gravely ill with COVID-19. And that was after he'd spent a whole year and a half organizing programs to help people with COVID. But sadly, he had the illness, and it was one of those cases where it went for his lungs. And sadly, in March last year, he passed away. So Bijata, who has two young kids, has had such a challenge to keep going. But I was speaking to her just the other day, and she said, I really want to honor my husband's memory, to honor God, and continue the work of the church. So that's what she's doing. She's in charge of it. She's the director. She's an amazing woman, and that £2,000 we've sent there has helped them in their administration work, because they have so many different programs going on, and Bikash was the guy who sorted out all their IT, and part of that money has helped them update all their IT systems And part of it has helped plan a big conference for people with disabilities. This is the main area of their work, with children and adults who have disabilities. And in Nepal, those groups are often marginalized. No one takes care of them. There's no NHS. If you want treatment, you have to travel usually and you have to pay. But the church offers a refuge, and these children, many of whom were injured in the earthquake of 2015, we've heard recently about the earthquake in Turkey and in Syria, but in 2015 there was one equally devastating, but in Nepal. And some of these kids, since that's 8 years ago, they've been looked after by the church, sent to school, given therapies, and they're all reaching the age now where they can become independent. So thank you so much for your support. It means a lot. Let's go the right way. So I'm going to just draw three lessons from the reading that we've heard this morning about the light of Christ. And the first one is lights to the world, love your global church. As I was saying, we worship a God who has a global perspective. He doesn't just operate on a parochial level. And sometimes the temptation for us is to think, that's what God is all about. It's just me and my parish. But no, God is a God who shines a light all over the world. In the reading we heard, you are like light for the whole world. And in another place, Jesus told a story. I think it was this one, actually. Yes, of course it was. It was this reading. About a light. Now, of course, they didn't have electricity in those days, but they would have had a lamp, but I've brought my brightest bulb in today. Imagine if you came and you had lost something. There was a story, I think, in the Bible about a widow who loses a precious coin. Somewhere in the house, she has 10 silver coins and she's lost one, and it can't find it anywhere. But there's some dark corners. So what does she do? She searches, but before she searches, what does she do? She lights a lamp because it's dark in the house. So I brought my electric lamp in here, and oh yes, that really helps to illuminate all the dark corners of the house. And Jesus says, wouldn't it be stupid if you were like that woman searching for something, and you lit the lamp, and then you covered it with a bucket? I mean, you wouldn't get much light from that, would you? It'd be daft. So no. If you light a lamp, if you're searching for something, you set it on a lampstand high up, so it illuminates the whole house. And that's what he said. We need to have a global perspective. The light of God illuminating the whole world. Not just our own little patch, but every part of the globe. And our children's resource this year, and I'll be talking to those in Macro Hamlet later, but it might be an option here for if there are any children who want to learn about Nepal. It's called Switched On, and it's getting that global perspective, switching on the lamp for the whole world, for the children to understand, focusing particularly on Nepal this year. So, as we've heard, you're like light for the whole world. And, of course, if you've ever done any geography, I'm not particularly good at geography, but you'll know that the world is divided into continents. And where is Nepal? Is your chance to shine, yes? North of India, in which continent? Asia, thank you, yes. Okay, just get the geography straight. So there it is, just north of India and south of... Yes, okay, so it looks quite small on that map, but actually it's twice as big as the island of Ireland. It's a very big country and very mountainous, but compared to China and India, it looks small. The people, I have visited a number of times now, and the abiding impression I have of Nepal is the people. Such warmth, such friendly smiles, genuine smiles. You know, sometimes if you're a tourist, you think, what are they after? You know, they're smiling at me, but actually they're after something. But not at all in Nepal. There couldn't be any agenda there. It's just friendliness. And the stranger, you know, I'm obviously different in my clothes and my skin color, but welcome. And really warm. And of course, I think we did this last year with the kids. Anyone know how to say hello? Come on. Somebody must know. Robert. You don't know? What do you say? Namaste. Okay, let's greet each other. Namaste. Okay. Very, very welcoming people. There we go. And the flag, which I'm wearing on my Nepali football shirt, is unique. It's the only flag in the entire world that is not a rectangle. There's a good quiz question, if you ever do quizzes. And it's not a rectangle, it's a double triangle. And why is it a double triangle? Do you know? If I do it that way around, it might help. The mountains, exactly. The Himalaya run right across the northern border. And that is the view from the plane. I took that picture as you fly into Kathmandu. And believe it or not, those mountains go as far as the eye can see for about 20 minutes. You cannot imagine how big the Himalayas are. I think something like, I think I heard a statistic, 20 out of the four, top highest 40 mountains in the world, 20 of them are in there, in Nepal. It's a huge place. I don't know what that one is. I think that one might be that one, which of course is Everest, the tallest mountain in the world, yeah. And we're going to listen to two short clips from our children's resource, but it does explain a little bit about Nepal and also what we're thinking about from the Bible.
Switched on. Welcome to the Four Mouth Islands Children's Resource 2023. Today we're going to be exploring the question, why should we switch on and care about the earth? To help us answer this question, let's have a look at somewhere in the room, somewhere far away from us here in Ireland. We're going to go to Nepal. Nepal is in South Asia, sandwiched between India and China. It's a landlocked country, so there's no sea, just land all around it. It's a beautiful place full of colour and wildlife. The skyline is impressive too. Whether it's an urban city sprawl or a rolling mountain range, Nepal is a place full of grandeur. In other parts of Nepal, people grow and harvest rice. This relies on wet, damp conditions. Nepal is perfect for growing rice with the heat and humidity in the monsoon season. Let me show you a very different view of Nepal. This is the capital city, Kathmandu. It's a big, busy city. Over 1.5 million people live in the main city, with around 5 million people living in the wider Kathmandu Valley. That's almost as many people as live in the whole of Ireland, all in just one city. Most people in Nepal are part of the Hindu faith, but there are lots of Buddhists. You can see Hindu temples and shrines all over Kathmandu, but you also see many Buddhist monuments, Tibetan monks, and prayer flags. Here's a Buddhist prayer group. 60 years ago, there weren't many Christians in Nepal, but today there are lots of Christians and thousands of small churches, and the Christian faith is growing fast. Switched on.
So, if the kids had been here, I'd give them a little quiz, but you all know the answers to these questions. The capital city of Nepal is? Kathmandu. Oops, going the wrong way. It's a vast city, and many of the people in that city are living right on the edge. There's no social security payments. So, a lot of the people that Sundadoka Church work with and other churches that we partner with are just earning a few pence every day by selling things on the street, maybe an income of something like £1.50 or £2 a day to feed their families. The level of poverty is very, very high. It's a beautiful place, though, and the mountains form a backdrop to the city. As we saw in the video, the staple diet of most people in Nepal is rice. And I walked through that valley one Sunday morning on our way to a church. And I literally felt as if I'd been transported back into the New Testament, because I could see all around me agricultural workers working by hand, cutting the rice by hand, sheaving it like that, collecting it and forking it into a wagon. It's like you were going back into the Middle Ages. This mechanization just hasn't arrived there. People are very, very poor. And yet, as I said, very, very friendly and happy people. The majority religion is Hinduism, although it's mixed with Buddhism because Buddha was born in Nepal. So there's a strong connection with that. But the church is growing really fast at a rate of 11% per year. So that contrasts very much with the church in Ireland and in the UK and in many Western countries where numbers are declining and aging. On the contrary, in Nepal, churches are growing with a lot of young people. And this lady here, that's Bikash's mum. She's one of the main leaders of the church. And this lady here was leading the service. She's got her Bible there. And the worship is very, very moving. The churches are very full. And the singing sort of raises the roof. It's very, very impressive. And a bit later, we're going to learn one of the songs that they would sing. Oh, no, it's going to be now. Sorry, Hillary. This is in English, which hopefully you should all know. God is so good. God is so good. Could we hear the tune for that, please? Super. You all know that one? Very easy. Do you know it in Nepali? You see, a lot of the songs we know are sung there too, but in their language. I'll give you the pronunciation. Yeshu, Ramra, Chan. Ramra, Chan, Malai. So Yeshu, do you know what that might mean? Bit of imagination. Jesus. Yep. Yoshua in Hebrew. Yeshu in Nepali. Ramra Chan. I know that which one means good. But one of them means, I think Chan means very and Ramra means good. And then Ramra Chan, Malai to me. Okay. Let's just try that with. If you give us the note, Hillary. Just sing it once through in Nepali. Yeshu Ramra Chan. Yeshu Ramra Chan, Yeshu Ramra Chan, Ramra Chan Malai. Thank you, Hilary. So when we come to sing that, we're going to stand in a moment. I want you to imagine you're in a church in Kathmandu, and it's full, there's not a spare seat, and there's a sense of real awe as people who often have very little materially, but have a great spiritual richness, offer their worship to God. So we'll go back to the English first. Let's all stand and sing it through once in English and then once in Nepali.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to Yeshu Ramra Chan, Yeshu Ramra Chan, Ramra Chan Male.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Hilary. Please sit down. So the second lesson from the reading is that Jesus said, yes, shine your light globally. Don't just stick to your own wee patch. But also shine your light out so that other people will see the good works that you do. Don't just, you know, come to church on a Sunday and think, well, that's it, folks. That's my Christian bit done. I've put my envelope in and I can go home now and forget about it. No. The whole week, seven whole days, not one in seven, I will... What's the... is it? I thought it was serve. What's the word? Seven whole days, not one. It's I praise, isn't it? I will praise thee. Yes. That's it. It's a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week faith. We follow a God who's with us all the time. Serve your community. This lady here is called Shova, and her husband... Oh, your light must shine before people so they will see the good things that you do. And Shova works for HDCS. This is the group that the Children's Project focuses on. It stands for Human Development Community Services, and it's an organization that serves people if they're in need, particularly if they're sick, if they're disabled, or if they need information. And they run three hospitals in Nepal. One of them we'll be just looking at in a minute is called Namuna Community Hospital in Lamjung. One is called Chowjahari, and one is called Gunjaman. They're all in very remote parts of the Himalaya. This is because if you get sick or if you're disabled and you live in the mountains, it's very hard to get medical care because the hospitals used to be all in Kathmandu, and it's days journey away. And if you're sick, how do you get there? So they said, right, we're going to set up hospitals near to where you are. And that's how they've come to be. And they serve thousands of people every year. They're brilliant organizations. And this is Shova here. And that's her husband, Hamanta. And he's the administrator of the one in Lamjung. And Shova is a counselor. So she gives encouragement and advice and a listening ear to people who are going through a tough time. And they always have floods. Every year there are not just monsoons, but excessive monsoons. It's getting worse every year due to climate change. And when the floods come, it's a disaster. Poor people are flooded out of their houses. Some of them are killed. And it's dreadful. So they go into those remote areas and they set up a camp and they distribute medicines, they give health checks. If someone's really ill, they'll take them back with them and make sure they get to a hospital. And this is a little bit about what happens when they're doing that.
My name is Mata Swish. I'm working as hospital administrator in SDCS Namuna Community Hospital, which is located in Sundar Bazar, Lamjung, Nepal. Every year, landslide and floods has affected the different area of Lamjung. The home and the road were badly affected by the floods and landslide, and many people were injured. Many people lost their homes and their lives. Our team from SBCS Hospital, we went there for the medical response, and in COVID, we organized one really response program also in that area. It was really hard to reach in the destination, but we went there, we reached there in time. First, we faced the road was blocked to reach in the destination, and floods and landslide damaged the homes of the people, and people were injured, and we organized medical care, medical response care, and including the relief distributions for the people who are affected by the flood and landslide. And we do general checkup of the patients, injured and non-injured people, and we distribute the free medicine to them, and we give this psychosocial counseling for the victims after the trauma, and people were worried about the future, worried about their family, and worried about their needs, and because the road was blocked and the drinking water pipe were broken.
I find that very moving just to see those images, and we've had flooding in Europe. And it's sometimes been devastating. But the scale of the flooding there, it's on another level. And also the inability of people to be resilient, to fight back, is on another level. People are so poor, if you take away the little that they have, it's absolutely devastating. So HDCS, they're shining a light for Jesus, saying, yes, we want to be there for you and to show the love of Jesus through helping out practically. And I think that's really marvelous. And that's one of the ladies she's been counseling. She's given her some medicine there from the dispensary. They also give them packs of food to last the family, because often the families don't have anything to eat, and they help out in that way. So this third lesson then, shine your light, care for the earth. So I want to ask a question. I think Desmond Tutu said this once. We keep on pulling people out of the river, he said, his work in South Africa. Pulling people out of the river to help them. There comes a day when we should stop pulling people out of the river and do what? Anyone know what he said? No? No? Go up river and find something out. Find out why they're falling in. And do something about that. And this is the question of climate change. Why are things so bad in Nepal? It's getting worse every year, and it's getting really, really bad at times. The world and all that is in it belongs to the Lord, says in Psalm 24. The earth and all who live in it are his. They're our family. They're our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers. And yet these devastating calamities are happening each year. There's that verse in Nepali. This was 2021. Bridges swept away. People swept away. There was a cremation going on by the river when this happened. And sadly, the grieving family watched as their loved one was swept away in the cataract. More than seven deaths, dozens of bridges broken down, 100 houses collapsed, 1,000 families became homeless. And that's the cremation going on there, and it swept it away. Devastating for that family. We can't really imagine. I've never been there in the monsoon season. I can't imagine. Perhaps you've experienced something like that around here, I don't know. But the catastrophe that's happening. And the question is, why is it happening? And what response should we be making? The IPCC, an international panel on climate change, a group of hundreds of scientists from most countries in the world, hundreds of countries signed this last year. And then it was reiterated this year in Sharm el-Sheikh. Sorry, that was 2 years ago, and it was reiterated last year. In Egypt. This is the map of the world. If the temperatures rise by, I think it's 5 degrees, that's what happens. And you can see all of the red areas, including Nepal, including Kenya, you are long supported with Kajiado, who are also going through a terrible drought. All the red countries will be unlivable. Not just badly affected, you won't be able to live there. That's what the scientists are saying. It'll be so bad. It'll be so hot in the summer, so wet in the monsoon, so cold in the winter. Everything will be extreme. This is what we're looking at, and this is it is unequivocal that human influence has warmed the atmosphere, ocean, and land. Unequivocal. It's what's happening. We need to do something about that. And the greenhouse gases that are blanketing. This is for the children, I brought this in to explain to them. You know, the gases that we are emitting are putting like a big blanket around the earth, and it's heating up. And we see some of the effects, but we don't just realize how devastating it is. The CO2, the methane going up every day. What can we do about that? Well, believe it or not, I believe in prayer. May not sound very practical, but this is what we do. We have prayer meetings with our partners in Nepal and some of our church representatives here, and just praying for God to change people's hearts, to help governments make good decisions, and to pray for the people who are suffering. And this church kindly raises a lot of money. Thank you for that. There are boxes there for Lent. If you want to join in with that, do pick one up on your way out. That makes a huge difference. It's very, very welcome. But it's not just about money, and it's not just about prayer. It's about the way we vote, which is a no-no in church. Never talk about politics in church. But I believe Jesus was a political person because he believed in loving your neighbor. And the decisions made in the council chambers and in the political forums, they're the ones that affect our neighbors. And they're the ones that affect climate change as well. Vote for people, I believe Jesus would say, in Northern Ireland, who are going to make effective climate change legislation to stop it, to reduce the emissions and help our neighbours. And here's something for you to consider. My son has challenged me and my wife about this. He's become a vegan. And he said, Dad, if you look at the science, meat production, I'm not having it going against farmers. There are a lot of farmers in Northern Ireland who do a fantastic job. But the reality is the intensive farms, some of them in other parts of the world, but some of them in the UK and Ireland as well, they produce a lot of methane. And methane is the most pernicious of all the greenhouse gases, 20 times more powerful than CO2. It's heating the planet. And we need to consider reducing our meat intake. Maybe not doing what Nathan, my son, is doing, becoming a vegan, but considering just reducing it so that the carbon emissions, which from vegetables and plants, are much, much less. Remember that the Nepali people growing their rice and their lentils, that's the staple there. You need to take a leaf out of their book. So thank you for listening, and thank you so much for your support. Please do speak to me on the way out, and there's some magazines and prayer diaries as well. Let's just pray together. Please say this with me. Dear God, thank you for the people of Nepal and how kind they are. Help us to care for other people too. We are so sorry about the way climate change is causing floods. Help us to change our lives here so that we stop heating up the earth with greenhouse gases. Amen. If anyone's free on the 25th of March, a Saturday, we're going down to Dublin for the day to hear more stories and to have our AGM and a free lunch. We can easily pick somebody up from the A1, if you can get to the A1, or come to the CMS office and we'll pick you up there. Get in touch if you'd like to come and join us. We'd love to see you. Magazines are there at the back. And thank you so much. Thank you very much.
We respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? Do you believe in God the Son? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? This is the faith of the Church. The hymn, God is always near me. Let us pray. Our God knows us and the temptations we face, so let us pray to him now. O God, as we prepare to begin this season of Lent, we ask you to remind us of what is important and what is not, of where we are wandering away and need to change, so that by Easter we will be renewed and strengthened for your service in the world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for the hope we have in Jesus, for the strength to resist temptation, and the joy and relief of forgiveness when we fall. Breathe holiness and deepening faith. Breathe energy, inspired teaching, and fervent praise. Unblock the channels and make us more receptive to your light, gentleness, and power. Lord, in your mercy. Our Heavenly Father, you know us, your children, so well and so completely. Knowing our weakness in the face of temptation, we ask for your strength and protection so that though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong. We ask you to help us to see clearly and equip us with all we need to choose what is right. Lord, in your mercy. We stand alongside all who are suffering, whether in body, mind, or spirit. One year following the invasion of Ukraine and the ongoing conflict, we pray for all affected in the midst of the sufferings of that land. Near our home, we continue to pray for Detective Chief Inspector John Caldwell, and all others, particularly his family, still deeply concerned about his welfare. And we pray for all those known to us who are sick and long for your healing comfort, your strength for perseverance, and your patience in dark times. In all the changes and troubles of life, may we be assured of your everlasting protection. Lord, in your mercy. Creator God, Lord of life, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heavenly Father,
Amen.
In darkness and in light, in trouble or in joy, help us to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gathering all our prayers and praises into one, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The collection hymn, Glory to God, the source of all our mission. Let us pray.
Lord Jesus Christ, you emptied yourself, taking the form of a servant. Lord Jesus Christ, for our sake, you became poor. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives as well as our worship be always pleasing in your sight, for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves and to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Immediately following the service, light refreshments are being served by the Sunday School in the parochial hall in support of the Church Missionary Society. And I do hope many will avail of the opportunity of continuing this morning's fellowship in less formal surroundings and yet also maintaining our ongoing support for all the work and service of CMS. Tomorrow night, Monday, there will be a meeting of the Select Vestry in the Parochial Hall at 7:30. On Wednesday and Saturday evenings, the Bowling Club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, the second Sunday in Lent, Parish Communion at 10 o'clock. The Register of Vestry Persons, that's the register of those who can vote and or stand for office at the Easter General Vestry meeting, is now open for revision. Anyone aged 18 years and over and who subscribes to church funds and has not previously registered may do so by signing the appropriate form available on the table at the back of the church. The revision will be completed and closed at a meeting tomorrow night in the Parochial Hall, also at 7:30. At which, of course, parishioners are invited to be present. Items for the food bank may be left here in church next Sunday or the following Sunday. And looking a bit further ahead, the next family service will take place on Sunday, the 19th of March. That's 1 week later than usual, Mothering Sunday. The recessional hymn, "We Shall Go Out with Hope of Resurrection." We shall go power of God, hold and lead us.